I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All the waiters in your grand cafe.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I should clear it up. We're on NBC Sports Washington Plus this morning because NBC Sports Washington has the Wizards preseason game on in Japan.
Yes.
All right, joining us right now is our pal John Feinstein. He joins us every Friday. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfman Tysons and Duke's Golf in Annapolis. They're now part of the worldwide golf shop family. Your two local golf shops will now offer a 90-day satisfaction guarantee and larger selection while continuing to provide great service at both Golfman and Duke's Golf. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
We're doing all right. So one of the big stories in sports is what happened to Tua last night, where he was concussed, coming on the heels of Sunday, where it appeared he was concussed. We had a neuroscientist on the show earlier, and he actually thinks, like he was saying, that the coaches and the medical staff, now he did say this was coming from a spot of emotion, that he thought they all should just be fired because he saw this coming, and he actually had tweeted about it before he took the field last night.
Yeah, you know, we still don't know as much as we need to know about concussions and how to deal with it. And there, of course, there's been a lot more caution in recent years, especially since the movie Concussion came out and embarrassed the NFL. But I don't know enough. I'm certainly not a doctor. I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But when you see a guy who has a concussion and he's coming back and playing football 4 days later, you have to wonder about it, because what we seem to know is you don't recover from concussions that quickly. No matter, you know, there's really no such thing as a mild concussion. There are concussions and then there are really bad concussions. So I've seen a replay. It looked pretty damn scary. They're now saying he's going to come home from the hospital today, I guess.
Although, I think he flew back with the team.
He flew back with the team.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. One of the things I do know about concussions is you're not supposed to fly.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
And so I don't. I'm baffled.
But did you see the Sunday incident where he down and, you know, the guy that we had on the show is a PhD and has studied this, said there were four obvious telltale signs that it was a concussion, because he grabbed his head, he shaked his head around, like, you know, clearing the cobwebs. He fell backwards, and he had to be helped to be picked up the second time.
Right.
Who do you think ultimately is culpable? Would you put any culpability on the coaching staff if he indeed did pass all the protocols from the doctors on the sidelines?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if the doctors, that's what you pay the doctors for. If the doctors say he passed all the protocols, then it's not really on the coach for putting him back in the game. Now, that said, how in the world, based on the symptoms you just described and on the hit that we all saw, can he not have had a concussion? And if he had a concussion, then he can't go back in the game. He can't.
It tells you that the protocols then aren't good enough.
Exactly. They're still not good enough. They've been improved. They've been tightened. You know, I remember when I was doing the quarterback book a few years ago, Joe Flacco took a really bad hit in a Thursday night game against the Dolphins, ironically enough. And they didn't clear him. It was a Thursday night game. It was fortunate for the Ravens. He did not go back in the game, and he wasn't cleared to play until like the following Thursday. And it was a quote unquote relatively mild concussion, but he had a concussion and he didn't practice for a week or play again in that game. It was in the first half.
I mean, this was obviously a big topic, big issue last week after the Buffalo game. It's going to grow by 100 times.
Sure it is, especially because I'm betting that your doctor is not the only one who's going to come out and say things like this, that it's going to be an issue for the Dolphins and the NFL.
You know what's so sick about it is we had this guy on, and it's just like his whole life, right? The guy that's the founder of this center or whatever for concussions, got a PhD in it and everything. And he says there's really no, like, brain scan or anything that shows, you know, and when they do these CTE tests, you got to be dead before
that's
they can
right.
find it. It's, like, it's kind of terrifying that while it looks obvious to us, there's no, like, hardcore objective way beyond just, like, stumbling and that kind of thing. You know what I mean? They can't just do a MRI and see, swelling in the brain.
That's what I mean about how there's still so much we don't know about concussions, that we've made a lot of progress. I remember, I think it was 2007, I was doing a magazine piece on Roger Goodell, and I went to interview him. And it was basically a puff piece, and he was always a good interview. And after I had written the piece, but it was a magazine that had a long lead time, and the New York Times came out with the first stories about CTE. And I went back to the PR guy, and I said, hey, can I ask Roger a couple questions about this story? And he got furious with me. This is a non-story. The Times is just trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. Roger's not talking to you about this. Well, what that told me, especially as things got worse and then after concussion came out, was the NFL was scared of this right from the start.
They knew. They had to know.
They had to know, exactly right. And they probably knew for years. And so, again, you know, are they doing enough? And they, of course, claim they're doing enough. But, you know, when the NFL says tomorrow is Saturday, I assume it's Sunday.
Yeah. Well, just for Miami, not that this is important, but now they're going to have to rely on Teddy Bridgewater. They're 3-1 now, and their schedule over the next 6 weeks isn't exactly daunting. A lot of winnable games, and Bridgewater can probably win a few of those, but who knows?
Teddy Bridgewater's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, who knows when Tua is coming back, but the schedule does allow them to win some of these games with a backup.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, he's probably one of the better backups in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're right, relative to the story of Tua's health, this isn't as important, but for Dolphin fans it certainly is, and for the Dolphins themselves, they want to keep winning games. They're off to a great start.
John, I hope you have your alarm set for about 9:20 a.m. Sunday morning so you can wake up and watch the Saints and the Vikings kick off early from London, because I know you're going to do that.
I don't have an alarm. I usually wake up on my own, and I had to get up at 6 a.m. on Monday because this is kind of cool. I went to New York to be interviewed by Spike Lee.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, he's doing a documentary on Kaepernick with Kaepernick's cooperation, and he wanted to interview me for Raise a Fist, Take a Knee.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to wake up at 6. I had asked Chris, because she gets up real early, to wake me. I was up at 5:50. Before Chris woke me up. So,
isn't that weird how that works?
Yeah,
how
was your my body's always been that way. Yeah.
How was your experience with Spike?
I got to tell you, the whole thing was fantastic.
Hmm.
They treated me wonderfully, got me parking right in front of the building, which in Brooklyn is crucial. Spike could not have been, you know, when we were introduced, I said, Mr. Lee, it's nice to meet you. He said, please, call me Spike.
Hmm.
And he was, you know, he asked good questions. Interviewed me for about an hour, probably make 30 seconds of the doc if I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But the bonus was that Tommy Smith was there. And I interviewed Tommy Smith for Raise a Fist, Take a Knee on the phone, but I'd never met him. So it was very cool to meet him, too. It was really a cool day.
Exhausting. I can't quite remember from your book, Take a Fist,
Raise a Fist,
Take a Knee. You had a Tommy Smith story. Did it have to do with Brent Musburger? I might be conflating stories.
No, you're absolutely right. In 68, when Smith and Carlos, did their Black Power salute, on the award stand in Mexico City, Musburger was a columnist for the Chicago American. And he wrote a column ripping them for what they did and called them, among other things, black-skinned stormtroopers. And said, how dare they, paid their expenses paid for by the USOC, do that? And, of course, the expenses were paid by the USOC because they were really good and were going to win medals for the U.S. It wasn't an act of charity by any means. And I actually reached out to Musburger, because Musburger has never publicly apologized. And I reached out to him, and I texted him, and I said, I'm writing this book, and I'm writing about the incident with Smith and Carlos and about your column. I'd like to talk to you about it. So he wrote me back and sent me a photo of him, Tommy Smith, and Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders.
Right.
Because, he does some work for the Raiders now. Musburger does.
Sure.
And So I said, geez, now I'm even more interested. What happened? And he said something about, I really have a lot of respect for Tommy Smith's mother. And I said, did you apologize? Can we talk? And he wrote back and said, I've been thinking since I got your text, maybe I should write my autobiography. Maybe it's time for that. Never heard from him again. So when I got Tommy Smith on the phone, I asked him about the picture, and he said, he and Mark Davis are friends, more from the time in Oakland because he went to San Jose State than Vegas. But he was in Vegas for a speaking thing, and Mark asked him if he would go to lunch, go to dinner with him and Brent Musburger. And he said, sure, why not? And he said when they got in the room, they took the picture, and then he said to Musburger, what was the deal with that column? And he said Musburger came over and started crying on his shoulder. And said, I had to do it. I would have been fired if I didn't do it. I had to take care of my family. But he never said the words, I'm sorry. So that was the story in the book.
All right. So I know you'll be surprised by this, but we've been talking a lot about Carson Wentz this week. And, of course, previewing the game in Dallas on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Eric has not said this is a code red game, and I would agree with that. But if they lose to Dallas, I think the Tennessee game is a code red game.
I agree.
Yeah, because Tennessee's not very good.
Right, and Tennessee will be playing in Indy this week, but they do have Derrick Henry. But let's just start with Wentz. First of all, sacked 9 times last week. He's going to face another really aggressive front seven with Micah Parsons. They're going to come after him. How are you feeling on Wentz's performance through 3 weeks, and then what do you think about the game on Sunday?
Well, Wentz hasn't been very good, except really for the fourth quarter against Jacksonville. And they were fortunate to win that game, and Jacksonville turns out to be better than I thought they were, at least the last 2 weeks. But the issues that were problematic for Wentz in Philly and Indy seem to be cropping up again. The 9 sacks were not 100% the line's fault. It's concerning for the line, but it's also concerning for Wentz. I think Scott Turner needs a game plan, because you're right about the Cowboys' rush, with a lot of three-step drops and, draws and trying to do stuff where Wentz doesn't have to sit back in the pocket and hope somebody gets open. And the other thing about this week, a story about Terry McLaurin not being targeted hardly at all in the first half. That's baffling.
Mm-hmm.
That's coaching. That's not Wentz. That's coaching. Why aren't you targeting him more often? Even if it's just a quick out to get the ball in his hands somewhere in space.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys see the stat that was in the Post that since Rivera got here, they've been down 20-0 or worse in the first half, seven times?
They get smoked a lot.
No, a lot.
Under Rivera.
More than a third, I think.
Yeah.
A pretty high number.
What the heck is that about? I don't think it's a stat we can understand, but it's weird. But I do think they have a chance, assuming that Dak Prescott is not ready to play, because in spite of what Jerry Jones might say, there's absolutely no competition between Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott. Now, Dak Prescott's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. There's a reason Cooper Rush has been a backup for 6 years. And he got them the two wins, and that's to his credit and to the team's credit. But I think because Cooper Rush is playing again, Dallas could be vulnerable on Sunday.
Well, the one thing that Cooper Rush is doing, and we talked about it earlier, is he's getting rid of the ball the second fastest in the NFL. Only Brady's getting rid of the ball quicker than him.
It's something he always is one, number one.
It's something that Wentz needs to do, as you touched on. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for Washington to pressure him if he's getting rid of the ball in 2.3 seconds every time.
No, that's true. That's true. So, you know, and the other problem with that is that their defensive backfield isn't exactly a bunch of all pros right now.
No.
So there's reason to – I don't know what the spread is because, you know, guys know I don't pay attention to spreads. But it's probably
three and a half, four.
And there's reason for Dallas to be favored, especially playing at home. But – I the game's winnable. I mean, just about every game in the NFL is winnable.
I agree with you
about it. I think there were two teams, two maybe three teams that lost by double digits last week, and Washington was one of them. So most games are close. Most games are winnable. You know, you see teams that have no chance against someone else turn around and win the game. So it's not out of the question to me.
Yeah, but where are you on Rivera? Last question, and we'll let you go.
Well, I've always been mixed on Rivera. I mean, he clearly has pedigree as coach based on his time in Carolina. He coached the team to the Super Bowl. But I haven't seen anything from him that makes me say he's Joe Gibbs. Well, of course, very few people are Joe Gibbs. I think he's an okay coach. That's what I think. I don't think he's a bad coach.
He's not special.
He's not well set. I don't think he's special. And there's some things about him, his relationship with Snyder, that make me uncomfortable, because anybody's relationship with Snyder makes me uncomfortable.
All right, John.
I don't want to single him out. Maybe there are a lot of others I can pick on too.
Thank you, John. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
That's John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfman Tysons and Duke's Golf in Annapolis, now part of the Worldwide Golf Shop family. Your two local golf shops will now offer a 90-day satisfaction guarantee and larger selection while continuing to provide great service at both Golfman and Duke's Golf. Coming up next, we'll open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. And I just put it up as the Junkies poll of the day, presented by Van Meter Homes. Who wins on Sunday? Commanders, Cowboys, and then give us the keys to the game if Washington's going to pull it off. Because most people are going to say Dallas is going to win. Home game. Dallas seems to be the better team. They won 12 games last year, even with the backup. Washington's lost their last two. So if Washington's going to win, how are they going to do it? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.